It's 7:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Monroe with KRWG News. Las Cruces area early voting numbers dropped sharply compared to 2019 municipal elections. Unofficial participation numbers up to this point from the Doña Ana County Clerk's Office reflect approximately over 5,200 early voters and 739 absentee voters during the local election in 2019. Approximately 7,100 voters cast ballots in person during the early voting period in Doña Ana County. As we see more concerned about COVID-19 in New Mexico, El Paso has seen some improvement. To learn more about this, I talked with Dr. Edward Michelson, Chair of Emergency Medicine with Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center in El Paso. Here's part of our conversation. Dr. Michelson, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me today.
So how are things trending with COVID-19 in El Paso and the state of Texas at the moment?
Things are getting better. We've seen the state of Texas go through a pretty large surge over the last two and a half months. And while the number of cases here in El Paso went up, not nearly as much as the rest of Texas, we've been fairly stable in the 110 to 130 range of total patients in the hospital over this period of time, while the rest of Texas surged to some 13,000. Fortunately, that number has come down by 70% or better in the rest of Texas, and our numbers are staying stable.
Now, meanwhile, in New Mexico, the Department of Health announced recently the enactment of crisis standards of care for the state's health care system. Do you have any concerns about this, being that we have this borderland community where so many people are moving back and forth?
Yeah, I agree. This is a concern because although we have a state border between us, I think of us as one large metroplex, one greater community. And that community extends, frankly, into Juarez as well. I believe that the bridge will be reopening for fully vaccinated individuals to cross in both directions sometime early next month. So these are all considerations for the public health officials. Crisis standards of care occur when hospitals are overwhelmed and have more patients than they can handle, particularly when the ICUs are overcrowded. And in a crisis standard of care, certain individuals who are not expected to survive may not gain access to the full available resources, including those ICU beds. So very much of a concern when we're in that situation.
Okay, as we're talking, health regulators at the federal level may soon approve authorization of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for kids ages 5 to 11. For those in our audience who may be wondering where we are at with the COVID-19 vaccine for kids in this age group, what can you tell them?
I believe we will have authorization very shortly. FDA has approved this for that age range, and now we just need the CDC recommendation to proceed with vaccination. But the government has already started shipping out the doses to pediatricians and to health departments. To be clear, this is the same vaccine that adults have been receiving now for the better part of this year. It is safe. It is effective. The dose for the younger kids is, I believe, one-third of the adult dose. So it's being packaged a little bit differently because it's a smaller dose, but it's the exact same vaccine. And I encourage parents to get their kids vaccinated if they fall into that range.
Okay, now there has been some reporting of rare side effects, primarily in male adolescents, young adults. What can you tell us about this and how concerned should be parents about this?
None of our treatments are perfect. All of our treatments for virtually everything that we have that you can get over the counter or with a prescription has some small number of individuals who may have an adverse reaction or a side effect. When it comes to the Pfizer vaccine for adolescents, there have been a few reports of, as you mentioned, more likely male than female teenagers who came down with a condition called myocarditis or epicarditis. These are inflammations around the lining of the heart or the heart muscle itself. Although rare, virtually every one of those cases was minor in severity, self-limiting, and resolved fully. Compare that, however, to COVID infection itself. We know that the COVID infection can cause an inflammation of the heart muscle and the lining of the heart, and those can be serious and persistent.
That was Dr. Edward Michelson with Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center in El Paso. Dr. Michelson serves as chair of emergency